It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. All right, we're going to get right to it. Wyndham Clark wins the 54-hole Pebble Beach Pro-Am. It was shortened because of the severe weather on the Monterey Peninsula. Power outages, trees down, TV towers down on the course, and some of the other structures that were built for the tournament were destroyed in the storm. So they had to shorten it to 54 holes. Wyndham Clark wins by one over Ludvig Edberg. He shoots a 60 in his third round on Saturday that included two eagles on number two and number six. Birdies on 4, 7, 8, and 9 on the front side for front side 28. He birdied 10 and 11, bogeyed 12, birdied 13, 14, had an eagle putt on 18 for a 59, but settled for a tap-in birdie for a course record 60 at 12 under par. He wins by one at 17 under par. Coming up in this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with Razorback basketball color analyst and former basketball coach, Matt Zimmerman. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss Matt. At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own, to seize opportunity, to anticipate rather than react, to deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world, and to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Coach Matt Zimmerman has been around Razorback basketball for a long time. He was a manager when he was in college for Coach Nolan Richardson when he didn't make the team as a walk-on. He's always been involved with basketball, loves the game, coached in high school, was an assistant coach under Mike Anderson at the University of Alabama, Birmingham, then Missouri, and then Arkansas. And now he is still at the university as a color analyst with the Razorback basketball broadcast. He also works for the Razorback Foundation, and he does find time to play golf. On the tee, Matt Zimmerman.
Matt Zimmerman, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Arkansas Sportscaster of the Year.
Crazy.
Did you even know that was a thing, that it was coming?
No, you know, I really didn't. I have to plead ignorance. And I remember, like, people in the past getting sports writer or sportscaster, like Alyssa Orange, and me sending her a message saying, hey, congratulations. I never read on it or what it was or how do you get that. I didn't know anything about that.
So right, right.
It was that organization, National Sports Media Association, they're based out of North Carolina. They sent me a – it was on Twitter, like, in November that I was a finalist, but, like, Wes Moore and maybe Sully, who's won it a bunch, and Courtney Mims. And I was like, wow, that's nice somebody nominated me for that. I don't even know what that is. But I never even heard from that organization until maybe a week later. And they said, hey, congratulations, you're a finalist on this deal, blah, blah, blah. And so I said, well, that's really nice. And then it just goes away for a couple months, and then you find out that you won.
And then all of a sudden you won.
Yeah, so I appreciate who I'm – I don't even really know how it's selected, but I appreciate whoever voted for me or supported. Somebody in Arkansas pushed for that. I don't know who that was, whether it was Steve Sullivan or – I have no idea, really, you know, who it was. But somebody obviously did that. But at the last couple basketball games, So people have come up congratulating me. It's been real nice. You know, everybody likes to get recognized and be, hey, coach, congratulations, whether it's people that work at the school or just some Razorback people. And so I think Chuck said, well, I'm going to bring him down a level. And so someone said, Chuck, you're working with the Sportscaster of the Year, but you probably won it before. And Chuck said, yeah, I've won it a couple times. And he said, but when I won it, they gave it to actual sportscasters. I think that was a dig.
That was, you think?
And so I appreciated Chuck busting my chops on that. But, yeah, definitely. You know, it's my story's a little different because in 2019 I was coaching and got fired. And so I'd never been let go and was around 50 years old. And all of a sudden, am I going to go back and coach high school? Am I going to, you know, I was offered three college jobs. One of them was in women's college. And there was three men's jobs and one women's jobs. But they were all, I'm not going to say below Arkansas, but they weren't SEC-level jobs.
And sure.
I was like, hey, am I going to move? And I've moved a bunch. I'm not afraid to move. But I'd gotten pretty comfortable here. And so basically I said, well, I'm just going to stay here. And I wanted to be close to my family still. And my parents were older. And so I just had to basically go to Hunter and say, I'm going to stay. And Hunter was like, well, that's great. But you're fired. You don't have any. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Yeah, and I said, I'm going to figure it out.
You know?
And so that's just how I did it. But it all works out, you know, how sometimes. And it's been a battle. It's been some challenges. And I've had to adjust my life as far as living and pay and all that kind of stuff. You have to make adjustments to get by.
Well, this is a golf podcast,
yeah.
And we're going to talk some golf. But I also want to talk some hoops with you, too, because
yeah.
I'm a basketball junkie just like you are. Love the game. And one thing that I remember is where I was when certain events happened. And I've talked about this when I filled in on shows on the buzz on the air and stuff. But I remember the shot that Lee Mayberry hit down at the drum at the
drum.
Irwin Center in Austin, Texas, when Nolan Richardson left the court. Because you've said the story before that, you know, he didn't ever want to see his team lose to the Texas in Austin.
Yeah.
Or lose to Texas at all.
Yeah, that's basically. He'd been beating them home, way, or neutral.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been beating them.
And so they were down in that game, and all of a sudden he starts walking off, and there you are kind of walking behind him, and
right.
then you got to go let him in the locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was a packed house. You know, sometimes you can go to Texas, and it's the crowd, you never know. But they were good at that time. They ended up being a Final Eight team, and they were trying to win the league. And we were going to win the league, but they were – of great program at that time. Tom Penders was a basketball guy, and he was good. And he had them knocking on the door, and they had three great guards, Lance Blanks, Travis Mays, Joey Wright. The national media and the Texas media called them BMW, Blanks, Mays, Wright, and they were good.
They didn't have any BMWs back in the day. Now, today, in this world, they could have gotten some BMWs
they
for them.
No doubt. You know, they didn't have them then, but they sure could have now. And, you know, it was – I think coach was really mad, and you get bad calls, and as a coach, you got to stay in there and coach team. You can't leave. I get that, and I don't think he was giving up, but I think he was really, really mad, and he said, I'm out of here. And I was just sitting at the end of the bench. I was a student manager. I tried to walk on, didn't make it as a walk on. I'm a student manager, and I'm with the team every day. And Dave England, you know, hit me and said, go follow coach. And I was like, what? You know, I mean, I'm just. Willie Nelson was sitting there, everything. You know, it was a wild, packed crowd.
Yeah.
Crazy atmosphere.
Yeah.
I looked down there, and he's leaving. I had the key to the locker room. That's the only reason I took off. And so I went after him. And I'll never forget going out of the tunnel at the Frank Irwin Event Center. And, by the way, we're going to be there about a month after that in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Not playing them yet, but playing there.
Yeah.
And I remember going out that tunnel and them hanging off, and it was they were calling him everything. And that's not an exaggeration. And it was a bad deal. He was getting tore up. He had his old head down, his jacket, and we just rolled through the tunnel. And I went that same way many times as an assistant coach at Missouri when we'd play him in the Big 12 and knew that way good. But here I am as a student manager, go down that hall, through that tunnel, make a left, locker room on the right. That was crazy. I remember opening the – back then, now you don't even have a key to locker room.
Right, there's a code or something.
Yeah, or they have security.
Yeah,
or they'll have a code or a card, and they have – but usually there's security around there. Back then it was, hey, if you don't lock your locker room, we may steal everything out of there. You know, that's up to you. Here's your key.
Yeah.
Here's the key. And so I had the key to the locker room and opened it up and went in there. And I remember we were just – it was – you know, coach was very quiet. And when things were sometimes going bad or whatever, he would pat his head a little bit. He came in, threw his coat down, and was just patting his head. And I put his coat, and I just remember hanging it up. And I said, coach, you need anything? And he just shook his head and didn't say anything. And I left and came back out. And I remember walking out, and Scott Edgar and Mike Anderson were in this huddle with the guys, Coach Edgar doing a lot of the coaching. And – we ended up Mayberry hitting the shot, which at the time seemed like a half-court shot. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But it seemed like it. And I kind of got Coach in trouble because Mike Anderson and Scott Edgar and Wayne Stelic, no one said, hey, go get Coach. No one even said, go tell Coach what's going on. We just hit the shot. When Lee hit it, I just took off and ran out and told him. And I ran in the locker room. I was so excited. I just felt like we were going to win. And I flew in there, and I grabbed his coat. I said, Coach, Lee just hit a shot from half court. We're going to overtime. And I tossed him his coat. And I think me just rushing him like that, he just grabbed the coat. And he didn't say, I can't go back out there. I mean, he didn't say that.
Did he say anything?
No. He was like, what? And I said, Lee hit a shot. We're going to overtime. And we both just chalked out, and we went back out there. And at the time, I wasn't thinking about this is going to look bad, you know.
Well, I don't think it looked bad. I mean, he's coming back out. He had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, right. And I remember Cheryl Miller watching the game later on the old VHS tape. She was doing the color analyst, the great women's player, and she was killing him and for coming back. And we came back, and, I mean, Ernie Murray had a tremendous second.
Yes.
Overtime.
Emo.
Todd Day, Lee Mayberry, Oliver Miller, and – we just rolled them,
yeah.
You know, and Lindsey Howell had a couple dunks. The late Lindsey Howell had a couple dunks in overtime. And I mean, right off the bat, we're up like 7 points in overtime, and then we just rolled through the rest of the overtime.
Love beating Texas.
Yeah. And, you know, it's going to be interesting getting to go back to that. And Texas basketball is not top in the country, but it's still the Texas Longhorns.
Yeah.
And I love that for our fans.
And that Moody Center is nice.
I have not been in there.
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah. I was watching it when they played Houston. On Big Monday on ESPN, they got those big, beautiful TV screens all around the top.
Yep.
And it looks like a beautiful place. And they probably were smart. They're doing what a lot of people are doing. They built it a little bit smaller. And now when you watch their women or their men, it always looks like it's a really good crowd. That Frank Irwin Event Center was huge.
Yeah, it was.
And you could get some – if you play them on a midweek and they were losing a game here and there, you could go in there and get a smaller crowd, you know. But now it looks like it's –
it's an intimate environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk golf.
Yeah.
When did you first pick up a golf club? Do you remember?
Yeah. In about the ninth grade, I was at a school. We didn't have golf. Wonder View outside of Morrilton. But my brother-in-law, Jim Hartman, and my brother, Ken Zimmerman, they loved golf. And they were just kind of in their days of starting to learn to play and play a lot. And my brother, Ken, ended up being, you know, it was at North Hills forever and North Little Rock. He was a member at Pleasant Valley for a long time, and he raised two sons that played at Little Rock. Mitchell and Nick Zimmerman played golf at Little Rock, at that time UALR. So we were golfing people, but right around there, the closest place to play was Morrilton Country Club. Well, we weren't members at Morrilton Country Club, and we would go to a place that only the old school people from Central Arkansas would know. I don't know if you would notice, Trey, but there was a place outside. It was called Pine Valley.
I've heard of it.
Pine Valley.
Yes.
And it was, for us, it was really nice. And I remember a par three up on a hill that I always look forward to playing.
It's not the Pine Valley that some associate with one of the best clubs in the country.
No.
This is a Pine Valley where you're playing through pine trees.
That's exactly right. And it's it was kind of, I don't know, you know, we'd go back, we'd go to Conway and exit, and then we'd go back, you know, Valonia and back that direction. So I guess it was probably close to maybe to Cabot or Jacksonville.
Yeah, close to the air base.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. And it was called Pine Valley, and it was open for many, many, many years. And we used to love to go play there. And we go there on Sundays.
Okay.
So I was like ninth grade, 10th grade, and we would go a lot to play there. And that's where I started playing golf. And then as I actually, the Army was just like coaching. College, I would play at Razorback Golf Course. You know, everyone would say Razor Rock. You know, that's what they used to call it. But I liked playing there. It was Razorback.
Yeah.
And they always had student specials. And you could go out there in the evenings and play for pretty cheap, especially if you walked. And then when I went in the active duty in the Army, it's kind of like coaching. There are certain times where months go by and you can't play. You just don't. You're working too much. But then there's times where you're in and you can play a little bit. And so the military likes golf. You know, most military posts have a golf course.
Yes.
And so I remember being at Fort Benning, Georgia, and getting to follow me. We called it the Follow Me Golf Course, which is the home of the infantry, which was Follow Me, one of the slogans of the infantry. And there was the Follow Me Golf Course at Fort Benning, Georgia. And, I mean, you paid very little. You know, they took care of the military,
sure.
You know, and you had to pay, but it was very little.
But it was a way for you to go out there and kind of get away from everything, though, right?
So good to get away, and because it was Fort Benning, Georgia, beautiful pines and beautiful landscaping, because the military, they're going to take care of stuff. And really, when you're a 22-year-old kid away from Arkansas, 23 years old, it's like Augusta. You know what I mean? It's not, but it is, because you're in that neck of the woods.
Yeah, you're close.
You're close, and you're like, this is like Augusta National, you know? And it was the tall pines and beautiful landscaping and flowers, and it was the military was good, and then got out, and I got to play more golf when I coached high school. High school coaches work very hard. But, like, when they opened Chamberlain Country Club, Johnny Chambers at Chamberlain was good with coaches. And he didn't let us play for free, but we got to play for, like, I don't know, way less than what – we didn't have to make an initial payment. And we had to pay a monthly, but it was less monthly. And he took care of the local coaches.
Chamberlain's a good golf course. That's a great country club, too.
Yes. And they took care of us and all the people at Danville, Arkansas, and they let us – play there, and we'd pay, and we weren't making much money. And so even when I was, you know, when I was coaching at Plainview or Dardanelle, Danville was one of our rivals, but we were in the county. So they let us play, and they let us join. So, you know, as a high school coach, you felt like, I'm a member of a really nice club.
Yeah.
You know, they had the beautiful clubhouse. It was tremendous back then. And so you felt like, I'm a member of a big-time country club. And then when you get into college, you just play when you can. It's like then you get towards more scrambles and charity events, and maybe you can get a Sunday
booster outings and stuff like that.
It's more of that. And we were fortunate because my head coach, Coach Anderson, he took up golf late. He played basketball throughout most of his college coaching career. He was still a noon basketball, pickup basketball guy. But his boss, Nolan Richardson, was a lifelong golf lover.
He loved the game of golf. He even had a golf tournament that ESPN would broadcast from up in Northwest Arkansas.
In Rogers. We were interviewing Seth Greenberg when he came in town for game day, and someone said, had you ever been to – he said, yeah, I've been here a couple times to see Coach Musselman's team practice. He said, but I've been here 20, 25 years ago. He goes, I came 5 or 6 years in a row, and I played in Coach Richardson's golf tournament because he brought all these coaches in. I mean, Roy Williams, everyone came into this deal. Bill Self.
Tarkanian.
Jerry Tarkanian. A lot of these guys that are passed away, and they used to come in and play that. There's Wayne Stelick, who was on coach's staff in his house. He's got the pictures of all the coaches each year. And it is really impressive when you sit there and you pick out all these great coaches, from Lou Henson to all these guys that would come, Tubby Smith, that would come and play in the golf tournament. And it was really neat. And those guys loved it because Coach paid for everything. Coach was at the pinnacle at that time of Arkansas. They'd come in, they'd put them up in Rogers, and they'd stay, and they'd fly the coaches in, pay for their lodging. You could do that back then. There was no portal. And in May, when school got out all across the country, you know, all the kids went home for two or three or four weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't a 365.
No. And you couldn't work your kids out. Right. At that time, you couldn't have – you know, there was nothing you could do back then. So the coaches got off, and they could have – golf. If you had that kind of golf, Coach Musselman, which is not a golfer, but if he wanted to have that big tournament in May, he wouldn't be able to hardly get anybody to come because they're all scrambling in the portal and trying to get guys and keep guys from leaving. And it's really different now, but back then – I think Dean Smith came to that. There was just so many coaches that came, Lon Kruger, all these guys that would come. And interesting about Seth Greenberg, I'd heard from Wayne Stelick that Seth Greenberg would come every year. And some of the tournament, I think they would play with, you know, people that had bought teams. And then the other part of the tournament, they'd have parts where they could play with just the coaches.
Yeah.
And him and Bobby Crimmins were big partners.
Oh, boy.
And him and Crimmins, and we asked Seth Greenberg about it, and when he was talking about the golf tournament, and Seth Greenberg said, I said, I heard you always played with Bobby Crimmins. He goes, yeah, they always had to put me with him. He said, I was the only guy that could understand him because he was a New York guy. Bobby Crimmins was a New York guy. And Seth Greenberg had grown up in New York. So Coach Richardson brought a lot of coaches here. Coach Richardson loved it. But when I was coaching at UAB, Coach Anderson, when I first got down there, I was surprised that he played because I had never
– You never saw him at Arkansas.
He never played.
Yeah.
And he had started playing like 2 or 3 or 4 years before that with Coach Richardson because Coach Richardson told him, you really need to start playing golf. You can't keep playing basketball as much anymore. You're getting a little older. You need to – and we would play at UAB, and now there's times you just can't play at all. But we would get in that May, June, around camps, and in July we couldn't recruit. We couldn't because we were recruiting. But then August you'd have some time, and we'd go play. And we could play at Greystone Country Club in Birmingham, which is a great course. Mm-hmm. They have a senior PGA champion.
And they also host the women's SEC there.
Yep. I got to play there probably 30 times out of the graciousness of those people. And the coach had a membership at Hoover Country Club. And then there was a couple other courses that we could go play at. And Inverness Country Club, which there's also another infamous Inverness, but there's also an Inverness Country Club in Birmingham. They were awesome to us. And a lot of times you had to have Coach Anderson to go play at Hoover Country Club or
sure.
somewhere. But,
yeah.
but Inverness would let us come out. If I had buddies in town from Arkansas or something, I didn't have to have Coach Anderson with me, and we could play. So, you know, and even in Missouri, they liked their golf there. There was three really nice golf courses when I was coaching at Mizzou. One of them was Columbia Country Club, and one was the Country Club of Missouri. And then there was a third course opened while we were there, and they were awesome to us, and it was called Old Hawthorne. And it has kind of flourished since we've left
okay.
and grown. And someone told me there's like 200 houses on Old Hawthorne now. When we left there in 2011, there wasn't a house on the golf course.
It's amazing how college towns and yeah. cities are just blowing up,
blowing
especially
up.
At the Power 5 level.
They really are, and it's just they continue to grow, and it's awesome to see. And golf is still, to me, growing, and you hear golf slowing down, and you hear of a golf course closing, but it just still seems like it's booming. I know if you drive by Paradise Valley,
mm-hmm.
who always has a strong membership, you drive by Paradise Valley sometimes on the weekends, and it's just cars everywhere.
Well, what about the course that Mr. Tyson built that the University of Arkansas
yeah.
gets to call their home course, and
yeah.
that's the Blessings.
One of the nicest and very hard. I mean, it is tough. It is tough, and but a beautiful place. You know, and I love it when we host that collegiate invitational that they have every fall. And you go out there and just can walk around or ride around on a cart. It's just beautiful, and the weather's nice, and you get to watch all these golfers from all over the country play.
The thing I like about it is the milkshakes.
Oh, yeah.
They're good out there.
They got good food out there. Mr. Tyson has such a nice place. And my college roommate, Dwayne Davis, is a member at the Blessings. And it's just a – Northwest Arkansas has got some great play. Pinnacle's still incredible place,
yep.
you know. But I'll tell you, one of the hidden jewels that I like, and it's talked about but not talked about enough, is Shadow Valley.
Out there in Rogers.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. And tight.
It is a
tight.
Nice tight. Oh, it ain't easy now.
No.
And that's another place. Mike Anderson used to have a charity golf tournament there. I remember going out there, and there was houses right by the clubhouse, and then that was it. And now you go out there, and there's houses all over. And my friend Rich that works there and who's been there, a big part of that growth, and his father-in-law, their whole family, they've done an incredible job, and Shadow Valley is so nice. But golf, it's an incredible sport, man. It really is an incredible sport.
So how often do you get to play now that you're working for the Razorback Foundation
yeah.
and doing color analyst on
yeah.
the basketball games?
I play a little bit more, mainly thanks to Dwayne Davis, my college roommate, because I have gotten spoiled. And Dwayne is a member at Camp Creek and at Shark's Tooth in Florida.
Oh,
don't
boy.
Call him and hit him up to go, because he only gets a limited amount of spots. But we go down there, and I prided myself when I was coaching not taking vacation, not going anywhere. I mean, stuff I look back on, you know, just dumb. You know, I couldn't take a minute off. And I, you know what I mean? And so, but now I go down there. Like last year, we went for 10 or 11 days. To, you know, it's the Panama City Beach area.
Mm-hmm.
And we played like six times down there. And those are, I mean, you get spoiled down there. It's so nice. And, but, you know, I play more, you know, maybe 20 to 25 times a year. I wish I could play 100 times a year, but I can't.
Don't we all?
Yeah. But when I was coaching, there was years, you know, you might play a dozen times, you know. So now if I've doubled that now. I can double that. And so I like it. And I love go to different places. And, you know, Trey, I'm spoiled. Still get to play in a lot of events. And I love going to Chenal to play in the Arkansas Sports Hall of Fame tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I don't play at Chenal, you know, and I love to go to that tournament. And when Miss Johnson, when they invite me to go, I love that, you know. And my brother would take us, and we'd play at Pleasant Valley a couple times. I just love that. And you play somewhere different. And so it's good. And I still play in the Deer Camp Scramble back home, and we go to Cadron Valley.
Oh,
you've been
yeah.
there in Conway.
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing. I'll send Lindy Lindsay a picture from a different hole. It's always on a Sunday, and there's a lot of teams that play in this. It's back home in St. Vincent, big deer camp, and they'll have a lot of teams. My brother-in-law, Jim Hartman, runs it, and I'll send a picture from a random hole. And most of the time, Lindy can tell me what that hole is. And they've
yeah.
got a lot of golf courses, the
Lindy's. Yes. Yes, they do.
But he kind of knows I'm going to, you know, and he can almost always, now if it's easy, the little par three with the big American flag in the background.
He can tell where you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but if it's even sometimes just a random hole, he'll be like, that's either number 12 or number 15. I'm like, that's number 12. You know, isn't that crazy?
That is.
But it's really interesting. And the Lindsays have done a lot for golf, and they've done a lot for a lot of, you know, old coaches and people that have played at Lindsay courses, and they've taken care of those guys for a long time.
Best golf course you've ever played?
I think I'm going to have to say Camp Creek in Florida is outstanding. I think second is Greystone Country Club in Birmingham, Alabama. I think those are the two. I'm not saying those are my, because they're a little hard.
Yeah.
They're a little hard. But they're really, really nice and very, very nice places to play.
Three other golfers, living and deceased, that you could play a round of golf with. So a foursome. But
yeah.
You get to pick three others. Who would they be?
Oh, gosh. Do they have to be well, I love
playing. Don't necessarily.
Yeah, Dwayne Davis, my college roommate, because he's better than me, but I don't mind getting coached a little because I don't play, and he's not going to stand over me all the time.
Sure.
He might, especially if I hadn't played in a minute and we get to play. I would say Dwayne Davis and probably my nephew Nick Zimmerman. He was a state amateur golfer of the year one time, and you're involved with all that. I like playing with Nick. I like try to get in his head,
Good luck. You can't do it.
I like try to bring him down a little. And, you know, it's easy to say, like, all the great golfers, but they're so good, you know. But I would say probably Coach Richardson because I liked playing with him, you know, especially when in his day. That'd be a fun foursome
for
me. Nolan Richardson, my nephew, and Dwayne Davis. We would have a great time.
Yeah, we'd have a good time. Who is must-see TV when they're on playing? You're going to stop what you're doing and you're going to watch them.
Well, I was always kind of – obviously Tiger because that's our era of growing up. And then early on when Tiger was young, because I liked Phil Mickelson, so I wouldn't pull against him, but I wouldn't pull for Tiger. Does that make sense?
It makes sense,
But then over – not long, but soon after that, you're like – then you start kind of rooting for him, you know, and I root for him, especially as he started getting a little bit older. I really liked a lot of the old time. I always liked Phil Mickelson back in his day. Would always watch John Daly because of the Razorbacks and would follow John Daly. And then Graham McDowell because he was a UAB guy. And I liked Graham McDowell and because I'd met him several times at UAB. And then he ended up winning a U.S. Open one time. McDowell did. He was from Ireland. And those guys you know, but I also like some of the – like I liked David Toms. You know, some guys like that.
Louisiana guy.
Yeah, Louisiana guy. I liked him. I liked Corey Pavin. I would always root for him. And I liked Zach Johnson. They were kind of all smaller guys and kind of had to work, you know.
Yeah, had to work at it.
Yeah, and then later I really liked Jordan Spieth. I don't know if he'll be able to quite – he'll win here and there probably, but he's getting a little older. I used to like him because – he used to make it was like Tiger, right? When he putted, you expected him to make it. And now that's not as much for him. But I like Jordan Spieth.
It's a crazy game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a crazy
game. But
it's
a fun game.
And you got to keep up because you can turn your head from – you can get busy in life and turn your head from golf for 6 or 8 months and you come back and you start seeing names that you hadn't seen. You're like, well, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah.
You know, and if I find it interesting, like the young man from Alabama that just won the PGA Tour.
Nick Dunlap.
Yeah, and Dunlap's now leaving, which is probably good for Arkansas. I'm glad he won. He could go on. But it's interesting to watch these guys.
Well, Z, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, absolutely. You're the best, and I love what you do for golf and everything that you do for people in Arkansas. And
well, thank you, and congratulations again on the Arkansas Sportscaster of the Year.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That's all the time we have for this episode. Before we go, I want to thank Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Matthew Allen, Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, go to their website, bphotels.com, and find one of the properties that they manage. Also, remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.